Hello and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. All the stuff you want to know and very little that you need to know. I am your host, Brady Steffel, and I am joined by our other host,
Annie Larner.
And today we are also joined by
Boyd Wilkinson.
Boyd is my my neighbor.
Yep.
Neighbor of many years. Yeah, and I hope many, many years more. It's been good.
We want all the stories about Brady.
I've got so many.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is he that neighbor? We heard already that he, you know, throws trash into your trash cans when he's overflowed.
Is that you?
Yeah, it's 100%.
Noted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Revenge, man. It's coming back.
With the philosophy that Daryl and I established for the entire neighborhood when Daryl was living. Is that like if it's Tuesday morning and it's not full?
It's open game.
It's open, open game. Yeah, it's open season. And so we've had a number of like you have too much junk from a project or whatever. And it's like, oh, it's Tuesday morning. I don't want to get like a bagster or whatever. Just walk around and like, this is yours now. And you know, with the dogs and the construction stuff we've had going on. So it's just like.
Wait, you still have construction going on? I thought you were just living out of the pods unit.
No, the construction's mostly done. The basement's done. We have floors and stuff, and we're waiting on the windows to go in.
Yeah, gotcha.
Got to get a guy to come and cut some concrete for me because I'm not feeling that.
Dude, cutting concrete is so loud.
It's super loud.
And so intense.
And very dusty.
Like, you don't want to be around that at all.
No.
It's intense.
I mean, the word, like, I don't mind the, because you can put on a mask or whatever. It's fine. Like,
yeah.
You know, but the worst is then you have like concrete as part of your wall, which is going to then fall away from your wall.
Right.
And I don't really want to be there. I mean, I'll put my dancing shoes on or whatever, but I don't want to be there for that. And so I'll outsource that, but it'll put some new egress windows in. Yeah. So
nice.
We have, but I don't know if you haven't seen it, I should have.
I haven't been down there.
Yeah. 9-foot ceilings.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Have it come down.
We need to record like live from the 9-foot ceilings.
I mean, we can set up a studio.
We've been talking about it long enough. It's like
a bunch of junk down there.
We can get down there and just grab
great soundscape. I'm sure it's like
how
concrete.
Deep could you have gone?
I think it just is as deep as I would pay for it, probably.
I mean, I've got some imagination going on here. Like, what about 25-foot ceilings underneath the
I
small
think
old
after a certain point,
house?
You're like, it's like bedrock, and then there's a limitation.
That's the limit.
That's probably the limit.
Okay.
So they came in and they put piers down in my basement, and then the floors are sort of level. And what I don't know if I've told everybody, but we had in my house, like the high spot was probably 4 inches high compared to the low spot. And at one point, they had everything underneath, they dug out underneath the entire foundation. So there's like no foundation. It's just on piers, which are like one by one sticks of metal
that
go down.
So sketchy. You just can't think about that too much.
Right. We're sleeping there.
Yeah.
And then they took down all the walls. So the middle is supported by like 4x4 posts that just go to the joists. And then they came and put steel beams in. And that was pretty cool. But then when they took those down and the house is all misshapen, it's got this turtle back shape. And I'm going, geez, this really hasn't molded back down to, you know, I would have thought the floors would have. And they took the last one out. The guy's punching this thing out with we'll call it a friction fit, like he had in there. And he's sledgehammering this thing out of place. And the house just goes, doof. And it like lands on the beam that they established. And
couple
it's like
China plates, like crack
like,
open.
It's like, holy crap. And the front door, the front door was like rhombus shaped, like the sunroom door, which you know. So the sunroom door, and it's like 2-inch gap on the top, over the top of the door, and now that is on the bottom.
Wow.
And I had to cut that off so that it would close. So it's squarish now. So
squarish.
Yeah. It's mostly square. It was 2 inches out. It's like an eighth out now. So, yeah, so we had that done. So you can come by, check it out. And the baseboards sit, they float, because they're attached to the walls, not the floor. The baseboards in places in the house, like I could fit both my hands between the baseboard and the floor.
Crazy.
It's crazy. So it was a whole big thing. They drove diesel in the basement. Whatever. So now we're going to talk about Longmont, such as my house, because that's very localized.
I mean, it's just Longmont. It's got a Longmont address.
Technically Longmont, yeah.
By the way, today I learned about how to change your address if you need to change your street address. I had a situation where the street address was wrong.
Like change the number on your house?
Yeah, like change the numbers.
They
do change all the time over history, which is why, I mean, if you go look up records about your house, that's the least reliable thing to look up because it's probably changed a bunch of times. The legal description is what matters. So it's like, you know, lot 8 of plat, this and that, and they put it together. That's the only thing that remains consistent. But if you have but street addresses change all the time, but if for some reason it's like wrong with the county assessor, which does tend to happen from time to time, you correct that through the Longmont GIS department. And there's also the Boulder County GIS, but the city's the county's kind of in charge of the legal description and the property assessor and stuff, but the cities are the ones who do the street addresses because it's all about postal service and utility bills and whatnot. So you have to do it through the city.
Maybe a creative way to get rid of junk mail.
Yeah, honestly. Just there you go.
A couple numbers different. And then
it's crazy. I don't know.
A lot of mine winds up at your house.
Postal address minute here. Anyway, what else have you been doing in Longmont? Because I got something. You're going to ask, let me answer? It's a question with heavy air quotes. Really just want to tell that I finally went to Costco and got gas. Just to button that conversation.
And?
$2.99. It was fantastic because people aren't out there yet.
Oh, nice.
it's like a racetrack. You know, they have all the like lines painted and tell you exactly where to go. And I was like, God, this is smooth. And then you like go in, out, in one side, out the other, back out around the roundabout. And,
yeah.
But I was most surprised by all of the infrastructure that they've done out there, like all the improvements with the roadways and I'm sure Costco had to do all of that as part of this. And then the new light too on 119 to turn left out of Costco or right or whatever. It's like... There's a lot of changes. I mean, it was really impressive.
Changes.
This is a whole new thing in East Longmont.
Yeah, times there are changing. I look forward to Thanks. More of your gas station reviews.
Wasn't that thrilling? That story. But to keep going east, though, the other stuff that's been going on out there, I can't believe, is the climbing collective and how big that's. I mean, you probably see that every day, Boyd, where you work and stuff, right?
Yep. See it out there, and they're a good customer of ours, too. We just... Just shipped out their stickers a couple days ago.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's huge. It stands out. Have you seen what I'm talking
about?
No,
I didn't left town in a while.
Yeah. When you travel east on 119 towards Firestone, basically, on your left, as soon as you kind of get out of town, you'll see this big, random, super tall warehouse out there that's looking awesome and brand new. And that's Climbing Collective. I mean, there's some other warehouses and whatnot going out there, but
I used to climb a lot. I kind of wish I'd gotten more gumption to get back into it, but yeah, it's cool. It used to be right on the Terry Street Bridge, right underneath there. Mm-hmm. They might still be there.
They are still there. I think they haven't moved yet. The plan is maybe this fall is what I heard. Maybe
had an idea to build a climbing gym on Sunset, but I'm like a big leaner and didn't take any risks. And then they did that and it's like, wow, that really took off.
You know, I was thinking what would be a sweet spot for a climbing gym in town is the silos that are right there by Terry and Second.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
That would be something to do. Like indoor and outdoor.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of restrictions that would make that.
Yeah, just fall into traffic.
Yeah. But like, I think that'd be a really cool climbing spot. I mean, what else are they going to do with the silos?
Every time I see that for sale or for lease thing there, I'm like, that is just the most optimistic.
Right.
Like who wants that corner? Like,
put some holds on it and some top ropes.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. We're going to get a juicy seafood.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Did we?
The one out at Clover Basin?
Yeah. Oh, man. Shows what I remember.
It's okay. It's worth repeating. I feel like we cover all these new places.
Yeah, and I looked it up a little bit more, and it's a big chain. There's most of them are out east, so there's going to be...
No, it's more than... Those are the guys that do sumo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Jeez, man. I wasn't
I think
here
they were the ones
time.
That do... I'm pretty sure, because they already have a location in Denver, like in Lakewood, maybe, and they run sumo and Chicken Jacks.
Aren't those chains?
Well, they're local operators, so...
I don't know, man.
No.
Anyway, you want some seafood? There's that. There's a dude in the Old Town Marketplace that's selling Legos now. There's a new guy.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot, what's his name?
Billy?
But yeah, he's a local guy. Billy. He did some pop-ups out of the CoSolve upstairs at the 350 Terry building, the old Times Call building.
Yeah.
And he was looking for a spot. That's right. I heard he ended up in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Cool. 332 Main Street. Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So that's kind of neat. So he's Monday by appointment, Tuesday through Friday, noon to 5, Saturday, 10 to 7. Shout out to this dude. Looks like he really likes Legos. And it looks like he kind of finds some
really
stuff that
Legos.
You can't.
Yeah,
he did. You'd have to. Yeah.
We shopped his pop-up at Christmas and found like some collect... I don't know, but he sold us something that he said, oh, you can only get that one in Europe or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm looking at his site. I don't really understand the business model as well as maybe I should, but he's got some stuff in here that's like listed as retired, so he must find like specialty bricks and stuff. Like,
right,
which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat. I mean, you really like Legos, yeah. You Lego dude? You grew up playing Legos, Boyd?
No, I really don't have anything to
add to
the Lego discussion at all.
Do you have kids?
No.
Okay.
No kids.
No, he's got a dog named Mac.
That's right.
Boo!
That's exactly what he sounds like.
I know.
We heard from a listener who gave us the update that Boulder Baked is not coming to Longmont after all.
Boulder Baked?
Boulder Baked.
Boulder Baked.
The cookies?
Oh, yeah.
They were supposed to come to Longmont. And I kind of forgot we had mentioned that on the show. Because he like forwarded me this thread where he said he heard on a Longmont podcast that you guys were working on a Longmont location. Is it true? And the guy Seth says, we were looking in Longmont, but ultimately decided to expand into Superior instead. Oh. Love Longmont. Hopefully we go there next. So we can still root for Boulder Baked to come to Longmont and, I don't know, Longmont Baked. I hope they change it to Longmont Baked. Seems like an easy way to, you know, sure, localize.
Whatever.
Longmont Baked. Superior Baked doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Oh, geez.
Crashing over here.
Get back up in your seat. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Tipped over.
Somebody was asking what all the helicopters were about the other day, apparently over like east side of town. Did you guys...
I heard them.
Yeah, you heard them?
Oh, really? Bunch?
I heard them several times, enough to notice.
Yeah.
I tend to notice everything up in the air anyway.
Yeah.
But, I did hear some...
I think we saw, like, a Chinook, like, me and Dan on the other side. It's funny, because it's like, oh, yeah, me and Dan, who lives on the other side of us. But, yeah, there's somebody says that they were doing a wildfire aviation summit at Button Rock Preserve with the National Guard and other Colorado agencies based out of Vance Brand. So they're training the National Guard to assist with wildfire. And they got kind of lucky last year. I feel like it's going to be bad. You know, jinx. But train up.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay for that. Like, right, for it.
Train, exactly.
Train. That's some dangerous stuff. I got a cousin-in-law, however you word it, that does that. Dangerous work, Godspeed.
Yep.
Keep them safe up there.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, you know how we joked on Louisville about their gas station moratorium and how we don't need that because we don't need the publicity
of like
running. Well, we got Costco in the meantime, and then I guess there's a QT's that's coming to that pad site. Remember that it was said was going to be Sonic, and then that fell through?
Okay.
It's a pad site that's right by the Southmore Plaza, which is at Main Street and Ken Pratt.
Okay, yeah.
And
there's
that little like lot with a house on it just to the west of the intersection.
If you've never seen it and you're driving on Ken Pratt on the south side of the street toward Main, there's just like a house.
Yeah.
Just like one, it's just a house. Yeah. And I don't know who lives there.
We had some friends that lived there like recently.
Really?
And they were like, because it's been for lease as a pad site for a long time and they also still have that house. And so a friend of ours actually leased it and lived. It was a nightmare. Yeah, you're shaking your head. It's exactly what it was rough. It was rough. It was...
I always use the words incredulous, disbelief, intrepid souls. Just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, who would... Yeah. I kind of thought either it was some like...
Well, this will be the cheapest rent on a single family home in all of Longmont. I did it for a little while, and it was cheap.
I'm guessing it was understandably so. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting a QT's, so it's kind of funny because we're like, the time that we said that, we got two new gas stations.
Color me just like, just so impressed. I'm so excited.
Can't wait.
Just so excited.
Well, what I've heard, the discussion I overheard the other day was we'll start some proper gas wars because QT's doesn't give a you know what, and we'll just they'll drop the floor like they will.
It's just
all
right.
So hey,
you see how much I drive. I never go anywhere. Like
right. But I don't think Brady's too worried about the gas prices.
I don't know, man. I drove to like Boulder once every 3 weeks. Yeah. So it's fine. I got the oil in the truck changed. I was very bad about it. I'm usually pretty good about my oil changes. I went to Grease Monkey this weekend and got my vehicles done.
Nice.
And I felt bad because it had been over a year since I had the oil change in the truck. But like I still like 1,500 miles on the 3,000 mile sticker. It's just like I go to like Whole Foods once in a while and like the ReStore to like shop for junk. And I'm just like, eh? I'm not too worried. So I don't get through a lot of gas.
Lately I don't know if you've noticed, Brady, but I've been on a bit of an Instacart craze.
I haven't seen
I get my groceries delivered now. It's so convenient.
Yeah.
I had a good reason there for the beginning, but now there's no reason. Like it. It's so much easier.
But
it's
what like about, worth but it. Doesn't it make it, Instacart in particular, I feel like up, they like
I
upcharge.
I pay the membership. You get store prices.
Okay.
Still pay a minor, like very minor service charge and then whatever tip for the driver. But if you think about like tipping somebody to go through the hassle of finding all the stuff in the store, loading it up and bringing it and handing it to you, it's like, oh, it's so worth it.
Right. Yeah.
So
nice.
And so much faster to just pick what you want right online.
Yeah.
into it.
My happy medium is just pickups. I love the pickups because I don't mind, like, I can pick it up on my way home from work or whatever, but it's still like, then and they don't do the fees. They like are encouraging the pickup. It's like, it's, and I feel like I stay on list better. Do you find
For
like,
because
you're not like browsing at NCAP.
I think I eat healthier because of Instagram.
Yeah. I believe
that. I'm less likely to just load up a bunch of junk on there and more likely to be like, when it's got the whole list of stuff, it's like, well, are there a bunch of vegetables on there or is it?
So. Plus I get sick of it. I get by the end. I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to shop. I want to be off this like task on my computer. And,
right.
Like,
just super fast.
Check out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like grocery shopping for me is just like where the wind blows you. I'm like, oh, look, these like, look at this broccoli. This is the best looking broccoli I've ever seen. We should eat some of that. And Kelsey likes to eat really healthy because I'm more of a like, how many Doritos can I get through before I feel like not just queasy, but like out and out nauseous. And I'm like, that's good for like 6 hours. I'm set. So I, you know, pretty well because my wife like buoys me that way. But I was like, oh, we're going to go. I just shop at Target and get all the box food and be like, I'm eating Clif Bars. They're super healthy. I don't know what you want. Like,
shop the aisles. I know. Who's who's the guy that wrote, I'm forgetting it. He's the guy that wrote about
corn. Oh, yeah, where to shop in the thing. Shop the outside.
Yeah, shop that. Shop the perimeters or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, if you want to save the money, like, you go to your fancy place for your produce and get the good stuff.
Right.
Because, like, I don't want, like peppers bananas from Target.
Don't even go on the aisles. The Whole Food aisles just like upset me, like because of the prices. You just hit the
it's quite a
lap and get out.
It's disturbing. Yeah, the markups. Because I bought some jam. I was gonna buy some jam, and like I got the good Midwestern soul deep down in me, and I went and I looked at the price for like a thing of jam at Whole Foods, and I'm like, there's no way I'm paying
$10.
I'll go to Target and buy the exact same stuff for $2 cheaper.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm paying that. And I'm like, I'm not driving to Target for jam. But no, if you want cheaper stuff, if you want the box stuff, go to like go for anything you want from the inside of the store, go to Target, go to Sprouts or Whole Foods or whatever for other stuff, because you want stuff in a box, it's unbelievably expensive. And I gotta buy the GF bread, right? Gluten-free bread, just kill me. That stuff's so expensive.
Yeah.
It's like $9 a loaf over there.
Well, we met our quota. We've mentioned gluten-free, and we've mentioned Brady's Basement. So, and we've gotten some long news.
Standby topics.
We haven't talked about traffic.
We haven't talked about traffic yet, but I have a feeling we'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
As we sit here
and
talk to Boyd. So,
you said, okay, well, we'll just start with, you said you're not avoiding going out in public anymore, so you're doing good?
Yeah, doing good.
Yeah.
And what Brady's probably hinting towards is my... Had a little stint of brain cancer.
Yeah,
just a little taster. No, it's kind of a big deal and something that is a daily thing. But I'm winning right now.
That's good.
But about this time a year ago, I had Scott, my roommate, take me to the hospital because I knew something was off. I couldn't write an address on an envelope.
Oh wow!
It just happened all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Go to the hospital, and right here in Longmont, and just like out of a movie, after a scan. Doctor comes in. I'm pretty confused at this point. There's something definitely wrong. And the doctor sits down, puts her hand on my knee, and looks at me, and she says, there's no easy way to tell you this, but you have brain cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, huh. You know, well, do I get to go home, or, like, am I going to die right now? Like, I had no idea what that meant.
What do you make
it? Takes a minute to process that.
Yeah.
And... So a couple days in the hospital here, then surgery just a week or two after that, brain surgery down in Denver at Anschutz, and lots of treatment, and have learned a whole lot about new advancements in cancer therapy that is mind-blowingly fast at how quickly the doctors and scientists are learning about ways to treat cancer that are actually giving people hope and chances where... With me, with metastatic stage 4 melanoma to my brain, I was originally told here in Longmont 3 to 6 months.
Jesus.
And that was just over a year ago, and I'm doing fine. Just had a scan Monday.
Yeah.
Today's Wednesday, 2 days ago. And brain is stable.
Nice. So,
yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you've been a pretty good neighbor, you know? And I'm just like, I hope he sticks around for at least another 10 years, you know? Like, it's like...
You're like, that dog is going to bark so much more if he's goodness. Not there.
Well, Boyd, we are so happy to hear that Brady got to keep his neighbor.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Brady, too.
Yeah. I'm happy for me. I'm also happy for Boyd.
For now. Yeah. You know, it could all go wrong at any time. That's sure. just part of the deal. But it's working right now. Yeah. Immunotherapy. That's
yeah, so walk us through that a little bit because you ran me through it, and we don't need to get in quite as many of the the real deal details because some of them were like, yeah, well, I've had that too.
But
like,
right.
We've all gone through that sort of...
The gluten-free bread thing. We can stay off that topic. Yeah. But, you know, and I've learned so much about a topic that I really had no interest or really any reason to learn anything about, but just because of my situation... super impressive what's happening in the world of cancer. And that's mostly focused around immunotherapy, which is not chemotherapy. Immunotherapy is using your own body's immune system and trying to teach it how to find and attack cancer where it otherwise can't. And it's incredible. And it has lots of side effects. And it doesn't always work. But it does sometimes where nothing would before.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's incredible. And so I've actually been off immunotherapy since about 11 months now due to side effects, but the doctors think that I'm still receiving the benefits of it. Yep. I kind of think of it like a software update for my immune system.
Yeah,
makes sense. It's changed it permanently, hopefully permanently. And if that's what's working,
what are some of the side effects? Because I think we know a lot of them, like with chemotherapy. Is it similar?
No, not at all. Well, I can't say too much about chemotherapy because I don't know what
I never saw you lose your hair, so I'll say that.
Yeah. Not any faster than it was already going. put on about 20 pounds, but not from the immunotherapy, but from prednisone, from corticosteroids that are trying to modulate my immune system back into some sort of reasonable amount of control. Because it can get out of control at any time on any system, and I've had most of it. So eyes, skin, kidneys, liver, GI system, all of it.
Meaning what? Like what with eyes?
Vision just start going bad. In fact, the other day, this was mostly a different medicine that I'm on related, but woke up and couldn't see. Two detached retinas.
Oh my God.
3 weeks ago. Yep.
They put them back together.
They didn't have to do anything. It's just from fluid buildup behind my retinas. Oh, okay. But it's the way I tell my friends and my family. It's like, you know, I have a very, very dramatic body right now.
Yeah.
Anything could happen at any time.
So they're strengthening the immune system. So is it just ultimately kind of attacking these things, like almost like an autoimmune?
Exactly. Disease? So all the side effects are autoimmune.
Oh.
So any typical or maybe more common autoimmune disease, I'm very prone or susceptible to.
Interesting.
And maybe not by the exact mechanism of the disease, like lupus or other things like that, but I can easily have the same type of symptoms.
And what's crazy is somebody who's lived through a lot of this, because I have, I got a lot of stuff going on, but mostly I've got celiac disease or something similar. And like the stuff that Boyd has issues with, I've also had issues with, where before I knew, but I still have issues with like skin, particularly skin on my face. But if you're looking at the way that my skin issues present, it looks like eczema, or it looks like the butterfly rash that you get with lupus.
Yep.
Very, very similar to that. Or like joint tendon pains that are like from other autoimmune diseases. And like once your body starts attacking itself, it does a lot of the same stuff. And so some of those can be really hard to diagnose because of that.
Exactly. And, you know, even the local doctors here, and there's some great, well-known cancer doctors here in Longmont that work also with UC Health down in Anschutz, and have such an amazing team of neurologists and oncologists and every ologist you can think of. But it's starting to become something that even the more fringe doctors, and by that I mean somebody who wouldn't normally be associated with treating a cancer patient, but they're having to become aware of immunotherapy. It's something I've experienced recently with a rheumatologist because I don't present as a typical rheumatology patient, but I very well can have rheumatology type side effects, just muscle pain, joint pain, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, like stuff that, like, so one of the hallmarks that I know if I have eaten gluten is like I get muscle fatigue, muscle weakness, and like, my lower back will just get really achy, and like all my joints everywhere, my shoulders and my back, and I feel short of breath.
Yep.
And like super classic in terms of that, my knees hurt. And I'm just like, ah. And then I feel like I'm about 40 years in the future, just going like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch some Matlock and just like ride this out, you know, and like, and that's it. And it's a rough spot to be in.
Yeah, for sure. It's a roller coaster. But it's worth the trade-off for sure.
Right.
And it's hard to tell exactly like what is most responsible for my cancer being under control and my brain cancer not getting worse. In fact, so they removed the largest of three tumors that were in there. The largest was a little larger than a golf ball. And the other two smaller ones were a little bit bigger than a marble. And the two small ones treated with precision radiation, gamma knife is what it's called. And that plus immunotherapy plus some targeted blockers that are only available for BRAF mutated melanoma. Learn all about that too. And now they're down to the size of like half the size of a pencil eraser.
Wow.
They're tiny.
It's crazy.
Yep. And yeah, brain is totally fine. Incredible. As of 2 days ago.
Back up a little bit, because this is like your recent history. Yeah. Tell us how you came to Longmont and how long you've been here.
Okay, so I originally came to Longmont, I think it was 2006 or 7. It's been a while. But for the skydiving. You know, Longmont has Mile High Skydiving and one of the premier.
Yeah, okay, spots. Hold on. I'm gonna back up again, because you did some work before this, and as I... Because it seemed very fantastical at the time. I want to see if we're kind of the same, or if you're just, you know, because it was like, wow, okay. And so you had a business, you sold the business, you're like, I could just do this for a while.
So that's backing up even further.
Yeah, yeah. So you had a business that was...
So started off as building water skis.
Yep.
I grew up as a competitive water skier and started a water ski company. It would have been in my early 20s, around the late 90s. Mm-hmm. Late 90s. And that grew really quickly. We started building commercial and industrial composites as well. And for all the major aerospace companies. And we started building, we were a contract board sports manufacturer for lots of the local snow ski companies. And it grew so fast and so quickly. And I was, you know, I started it in my early 20s. And then I kind of woke up one day and my turned 30 or just after, and I was like, wait a second, that was my whole 20s and all I did was work the whole time. So sold off bits and pieces of the company and just didn't work for a while.
Right.
I traveled and saw the world and did a lot of skydiving, a lot of base jumping, had always been into flying since an early age and got my pilot's license young, and migrated from, well, I grew up in Golden, lived out east in Brighton where the lake is, and then moved here for skydiving and close to the airport and haven't left because I like it.
So when did you first skydive?
I did my first, okay, I have a story about that. I have a story about everything.
Yeah, well, you're going to have stories too, because like, I know your foot was, you had a bit of issues with your foots before your foots, with the your brain.
Yeah, Frankenfoot. Yeah. It has a name. but I tried to do my first skydive when I was 17 up in Loveland, and that's too young. You're supposed to be 18. They didn't check IDs. A friend of mine and I kind of snuck our way in, and we got weathered out that day after a day long of class. And so we had a new instructor the next day. We had to come back the next day to actually do our jump. And the new instructor demanded to see our IDs. And it's not like we had fake ones at that point. I had to show them, and we got kicked out. So it was a year or two after that. I think I was 19 maybe when I did my first skydive. Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah.
And where was that?
That was here in Longmont.
Oh, nice. Yep. So what year
back
was
when
that?
Mile High Skydiving was owned by Jeff Sands time ago.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So it's been around a long time.
It's been around a really long time.
Yeah.
At least 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. That's, so you were in the heavily into the skydiving phase. Yeah.
How many jumps a day do they do like on a Saturday?
So if you take the total number of people
that
exit an airplane and land with a parachute, it can be close to 1,000. And a lot of those would be tandems, you know, say, you know, an instructor and a student. And sometimes that's accompanied by a third jumper, a videographer. But there's a lot of fun jumpers and a lot of people learning how to skydive.
Yeah.
But they may do, I don't know what the recent numbers are, but when I was there, it could be a total of maybe 40 loads of... Depending on the
purple
plane,
airplane?
The Purple Otter, that one carries 23 jumpers, or the King Air carries 15. So if you kind of average those out, and they're mostly full all the time, it's a lot of people.
That is crazy.
Paying to jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
I did it once.
There's no such thing as a perfectly good airplane, Brady. You should always be ready to jump out.
It's so fun. I think everyone should do it once.
And it's beautiful here.
It's so
yeah. Especially so this pretty. Time of year. The mountains have the snow on them, and the, I call it Green Week. You know, the grass turns green, the mountains have snow. It's the most beautiful, I think, that this area gets
for the entire year. I think, like, the mountains are just not the same when they're not snow-capped. Yeah, it's such a pretty thing.
Honestly, it's a wonder that there's not more accidents when I think about the number, the volume of people that are jumping.
Yeah, based on the numbers, I mean, it's always pretty dramatic, you know, when somebody does get injured or worse skydiving. Yeah. But if you just look at the frequency of it and how many happen, you know, throughout the country, throughout the world, and even here in Longmont, it's a pretty low percentage of people that, you know, that do have some sort of injury or worse. So
do people come from other places to skydive here?
For sure. Yeah.
It's like a destination. It's kind of
it can be definitely a destination drop zone.
So what year did you move here?
I think 2006, 2007, to South Longmont.
To South Longmont.
Is where I lived originally. Yep. Right off of Airport Road.
That's a good place to be if you're, you know, want to be over by the airport.
That was pretty close.
Yeah. Yep.
So how often were you jumping?
Every day.
Every day.
Well, every day that they were open.
Did you become an instructor so you could make money doing it?
I did. Yep. And that helped extend my travel, my travel time. And I had a friend that had also sold a company. And so we were kind of in the same situation. And just, we both became instructors so that we could continue traveling. So we would jump, earn some money, go travel. And we went all around the world doing that. And he got dead base jumping
in
France several years ago.
God dang.
Base jumping, totally different, way riskier, way scarier.
I happen to know a guy who also got some brain injuries base jumping.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
We know him.
We know. We both know him.
Yeah.
He happens to live.
He lives real close.
Real close.
Do you feel ever like? Because how often do you jump anymore?
I haven't been jumping very much. It's been probably almost 2 years now since I jumped. And
do you ever like look back and feel like you, like,
yeah,
you got through that without?
Not so much on skydiving, but base jumping. I look like I made it through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. I was base jumping for quite a while, or for several years, and lots. You talk about like, bad statistics. It's night and day. It's not anything like skydiving. Mm-hmm. Like the only way out really is to quit or it's going to make you quit.
Yeah.
Wow. So. Did you base jump around here?
A little bit in Colorado, but did a lot of traveling base jumping too.
Where in Colorado can you do that?
Well, a lot of base jumping is kind of off the books.
Oh,
so there
like
are
unsanctioned?
Some, yep, and not necessarily, kind of operate in a gray area of legality there.
Oh, interesting.
So.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You probably have to go and like places where it's
and
allowed.
And it depends.
Or
yeah.
Permitted or?
Sort of. I mean, base jumpers.
You only were doing the legal stuff.
Only the legal.
I know
yeah,
that.
That's
yeah.
right.
You've said that over and over. The reason I didn't get injured doing that is I was only ever doing the legal stuff.
That's right.
Explicitly saying.
No, I did get injured doing that.
Oh, that's how you
That's where Frankenfurt.
That's where Frankenfurt. Okay. Never mind.
Well, for.
That was in Switzerland, though. Legal.
Oh.
Hey, nice.
That seems like a. Wait, so, but where in Colorado can people go?
So
where do they go in Colorado? Not where can they
I'll leave it at this. The way that you would start is by skydiving first and getting a lot of time under a parachute and learning how to do that well. Base jumping is all about flying the parachute in really tricky scenarios, situations. So whereas skydiving is much more about the free fall, base jumping is much more about, you know, it's a very short
technical
driving
typically.
Right.
Yep. So, but you would start at the drop zone. You're going to run into base jumpers and ask enough questions out there and spend enough time doing it, and then somebody will take you on a base jump or teach you how to do it. And
this is fun, but there's not enough risk of injury.
No, but I really literally want to know where in Colorado you can go.
Usually people go up to Idaho.
Okay.
Because it's the only legal bridge in the U.S. that's legal to jump all the time.
Oh, wow.
The town of Twin Falls, Idaho welcomes base jumpers.
Oh, crazy.
At least
otherwise,
it's
you just go find like a canyon somewhere and try to get yourself
pretty
up
much,
there and like...
Yeah.
Hike up and like go.
That's how a lot of it works. Yep. It could be any structure though. And base is building, antenna, span, which is a bridge, or earth, like a cliff.
Oh,
those are the four kind of categories.
What
of
was
objects.
Your preferred? What did you prefer?
Cliff.
Cliff.
Yeah, earth. Yep, the E in there. Yep, it's by far to me. I don't know. There's just something special about jumping off the earth free falling for a little bit or flying a wingsuit and then opening a parachute and landing back on the earth.
Oh, yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Sounds so pretty fun. Cool. That sounds amazing. That sounds like flying. Sounds like
it is.
It sounds like supernatural. To me, it's like the most. That's so cool.
It's the most pure form. That's like as close as you get to a bird flying. A bird just flies yep. when it wants to.
Yeah, I've been sledding.
Extreme sledding?
Not very extreme.
Like without a helmet?
No. Yeah, sledding? No, I've been without a helmet for sure.
Crazy.
I grew up in the 80s, dude. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's wearing a helmet.
No.
No. People would like, my neighbor's mom, like, she'd be like, put your helmet on, Chris. And he'd be like, yeah, okay. And then he'd immediately take it off. Like, you know, it's like throw it in a bush and come back and get it on the way home. different
so
times.
So it sounds like you maybe got injured along the way.
I don't did. Know.
Picking that up.
Yep.
Tell us.
Actually, no, sorry, that wasn't Frankenfoot. That happened here in Longmont.
Okay.
Switzerland was femur and knee, base yeah. jumping, wingsuit. Oh,
that's wow. bad enough. A yeah. femur break is not a pretty thing.
No.
You had to fly back from Europe with a broken femur?
They bolted it back together there in Switzerland and my knee and yeah. had me standing up on it the next day, but was still in the hospital there for almost 2 weeks and then flew back.
Yeah, yeah, one of our neighbors, my dad also snapped his femur in half. So you guys got that in common if you ever need something to talk about.
Yeah.
He's always got, he probably wants to share a pizza with you or something, but that's his kind of vibe. But yeah, like one of our neighbors got a hip replacement, Jody, who lives a couple blocks away. And like, she was up walking like that same week or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy what they can do when they're doing that. It's just like, didn't you? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Because didn't they take part of your bones away? Like, isn't that important? It's like, oh, you're supposed to use it.
Screwed it back together.
Yeah, you're supposed to use it. Like, they want you to use it pretty much right away. It's
yeah.
like, okay, well, neat. So, yeah, I mean.
So you've had now, it seems like, some very close calls with death. Like you kind of flirt with death,
way.
And now with brain cancer, and then previously, which versions of it? This sort of self-induced thrill-seeking version, or the like, I had nothing to do with this. I just got brain cancer one day. Version of death, maybe. Do you feel like you grew through more?
I would say that's a good question, but I think as far as if we're using growth as a category, definitely the unplanned. You know, something that I didn't put myself into. So brain cancer takes the cake there. I'm still very much in the throes of that right now too. But I will say, you know, I've had plenty of experiences where I look back and I'm like, you know, from the outside, it seems like that was a really bad time or bad thing that happened, mm-hmm. but I did grow a lot. I'm glad that it happened just because I'm different now. It changed me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it happened. Now, I'm not quite to that point with brain cancer yet, but I hope to get there. I have already definitely, there's some things like to wake up and just be thankful for the day or to be able to see the mountains, how beautiful they look here. It's like, never know how many of those you have left. And that's true for everybody.
Right.
So just the change in perspective there is something that I'm already grateful for. And big picture though, I'd still much rather not have it. Not
sure, sure.
Right. Ask me in a couple of years and I'll be like, yep. Yeah, glad that I went through that. It changed me. It made me a better person.
Right
now, it's still kind of in the thick of it.
So you want to move on? Like, I'm trying to figure out which way to, like, we could keep going chronologically through.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a few.
Stop.
I know you've got a couple more projects that you've had your fingers in a couple more pies. But we can also talk about the evolution of Longmont because you've seen a lot of it. But you did exit from working over at Mile High, even as an instructor, and then you sort of got into...
Jetpacks.
Yeah, jetpacks. So that was a...
like literal jetpacks?
Yeah. The real kind.
The real deal, and I'll say the cutest little car used to show up.
Oh, yeah.
And the biggest, like most monstrolific kind of trucky thing showed up.
Yep.
So what was that called?
Based on my history with composites and design and flying stuff... you run into a lot of friends that have similar interests like you do with anything, I guess. And one of those people was Troy Widgery, the founder of Go Fast Sports out of Denver, that became now Apollo Energy Gum, Liquid Core Gum Company that makes energy gum and other functional gums kind of as the progression from energy drinks. So as part of that, though, Go Fast used to use a jetpack, a real live flying machine jetpack, rocket-powered, as part of their promotion, which it was known as the Go Fast Jetpack.
Yeah.
And so they would do shows.
Yeah. So you sell whatever, you know, tricycles.
Exactly. If you want to get attention for something, though, a jetpack pretty much does it.
It's kind of funny. I see it. They're like, eat this gum and fly.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but Troy wanted to build a flying motorcycle, the first one, jet-powered flying motorcycle. And he said, do you want to build it? Do you want to design it and build it? I said, of course I do. So went down to do that full-time in Denver. That's how I got started kind of hardcore into the flying machines and jetpacks down in Denver. Mm-hmm. And so we did. We built the world's first flying motorcycle, the Apollo jet bike.
Yeah.
We flew it.
Googling that right now.
And yeah, you'll find it.
Yeah.
It did four completely untethered, like unsupported flights out over water up in Greeley. We crashed it on the fourth flight and... Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And we did not ever put it back together. It was just so expensive. And our dream with that was to have jet bike races.
Yeah.
And we were so far away.
Is it base jumping not extreme enough for you? Let's do some jet bike racing.
Well, yeah. I mean, just the dream of it. It's like, wouldn't that be cool to be able to take off
100%.
And fly.
Absolutely.
And race with your friends on a flying motorcycle.
So to describe this to everybody, these jets are like, you know, obviously pointed down. So you go up, and then how do you propel forward?
You just tilt it forward a little bit.
Oh,
so it's got so much power. It takes so much thrust to go straight up. And all you have to do is just tilt it forward just a little bit and
off she goes.
Off she goes.
It takes so much fuel.
A ton of fuel.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yep.
For the jetpacks, you said, how long could you be up in a jetpack?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Yep. And how much fuel would you go through for 30 seconds?
5 gallons.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
But the fuel for that is peroxide, hydrogen peroxide.
At what super percentage?
Pure. 91% pure.
You don't want to touch that.
No.
That's
you definitely.
Super, that's super
you would know
bad
if you touched it real quick.
Yeah, it'll eat away to your bones.
Yep.
That's really, really bad for you.
Yeah. But we traveled around the world doing jetpack shows where companies would hire the jetpack to be a part of their show. Mm-hmm. And we would put the jetpack into cases and ship it as baggage on an airliner.
As you do.
As you do. That's how you travel with a jetpack. Everybody knows that. And then,
you know, I've never looked into it, honestly. Just.
And then we'd usually have to hawk it out of customs or somebody's got a hold of it because that never goes as easily as that last sentence made it sound.
Right, right.
It's much more difficult than that.
Throw it in the hold. It's fine. Yep. Just leave the hydrogen peroxide out because that's
definitely can't bring that on the plane. Yeah. So we'd have to ship that around the world a month, 2 months in advance and get it on location. And that was always the hardest part of doing jetpack shows.
That's great because that stuff is, I mean, people think about it, but the stuff you have at home is 3%.
Right.
That stuff is like.
And it's still kind of like it bubbles on your skin.
Yeah.
Well,
it's still, you know, it's pretty unpleasant. It's a heavy oxidizer. It's not
exactly.
It's not anything you want to be dealing with. So
yep.
At 90%+, it's just a whole other.
It'll set dirt on fire.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. it's so far afield from what like you even understand is the stuff that you buy.
Yeah. It decomposes anything organic so fast that it becomes explosive in the right scenario. And that's what powers the jetpack is we're just taking the peroxide and turning it into.
How much does 5 gallons of hydrogen,
what's it called?
Hydrogen peroxide.
Thank you.
H2O2, so baby.
H2O2, but 90% pure.
Yeah,
how
just,
much does
it's just
cost?
Water with an extra oxygen.
About $1,000.
Oh, so $1,000 for 30 seconds of flight?
Yep.
Wow.
And it's very, very difficult to get. So only a couple places worldwide that you can get it made.
I'll say I haven't needed much more than 3% for anything. Like typically. Like
you know, we had some at the house.
Did you?
You just had to ask. Yeah, I would have brought some over.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I really got this like, cat.
Clean out your pipes.
Yeah, it will until they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cat peed on the concrete out back. You got anything for
that?
Oh,
you don't like the cat anymore? Yep. But
hot tip, if anybody does have cat pee to deal with, a little bit of baking soda and peroxide. Just the 3%.
I mean,
that solves
3%. Everything.
That'll do it. That'll do it. Like, and I like, I'm not the like... Oh, well, I clean everything with, like, cider vinegar. Like, that's not my jam. This stuff actually works.
Oh, yeah. So peroxide's amazing.
Whereas
peroxide
if you want a new hole in your floor where the cat pee used to be, come see me.
Problem solved. No floor, no smell, baby. We're done.
Exactly.
What do you want?
Definitely get rid of the smell.
Yeah.
Okay, so then after the jet bike crashed, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yep. So the jet bike project just got tabled, and we continued doing jetpack shows.
Okay.
Yep. Pretty much all the way up until COVID.
Oh,
that kind of shut that down.
Okay.
Yep. And but we every few weeks we'd be in some other corner of the world doing.
Yeah,
a show.
And I was always a little bit jealous of that because like we were just in France. I was like, I don't want to go back to France.
Yeah.
And you're like, we were just over in France. We were flying a jetpack around doing whatever, and it's like. like, are you for real right now? Because it sounds like you're just full of malarkey, you know? It's like, no, we just had the jetpack. It's like, the story's the same as I remember last time. So this guy's an exceptional, like...
I took really good notes the last time I told this story. Yeah. No, but we would... Yeah. Always so many stories from those shows. But some of the more memorable ones would be performing for the Royal Family of Kuwait. Or not performing for them because the... jetpack was too loud for the king's ears.
Yep,
couldn't do that one.
Did you get like a permit to to use it? Like, you couldn't just go out in like Roosevelt Park and try it?
It's kind of base jumper style on that, I would say.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's so fast and so short, and technically there's no rules that govern it. We did have an accident down there in Denver where the pilot, Nick, got pretty badly injured.
Okay.
And the FAA came out and... they're like, you know, we just don't really have anything to say about jetpacks. So that's how.
Well, it's like, it's $1,000 for 30 seconds. And you have to have the apparatus and you have to be like, sure, I'll go to the park and blast one off. Like, you're not going to get a lot of people that are just like, I'm just going to go do this. Because if you screw it up, you'll probably die.
Yeah.
You are get seriously maimed. And then it's so expensive to even try.
And it's not like you can go buy one. Right. Although we did sell one on eBay, a jet-powered one.
Can you disclose what it actually went for? Like how much, if you're on eBay and
I think it was around low 100,000 range, which is really inexpensive. I mean, that's basically the cost of the parts on that. But that was a jet engine-powered jetpack.
So if you're like cruising eBay, expect to pay at least that much if you're looking like, just looking to stumble across one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you find one on there. But we got a lot of attention. I think it was in Rob Report and stuff because we had a jet bike. Or we had a jet pack. I don't think we ever put the jet bike on eBay, but it was more of a stunt than an actual like, let's see if we can sell these. That really
Apollo Energy Gums hard up for cash. There's fire sale on there. Yeah.
So what's happened to Apollo Jet Pack since COVID?
So the company, that's a separate company called Apollo Flight Labs, and.
Okay.
It's pretty much just stalled out. The jetpacks still exist.
Okay.
I've went on one show since the start of COVID.
So you're still linked up with them because I know you have another thing we'll talk about eventually, but
yeah,
you're still linked up with Apollo.
Yep, still very close with the company and with Troy, the owner. You know, we get along great now that I don't work there. So.
Yeah, my dad and I, our relationship improved dramatically once I moved out of the house.
Too, I think so. It tends to work that way.
It does. Yeah, love my father dearly, but you know sometimes close quarters.
Yep.
So what has been going on since then?
I went on to work for Apollo Energy Gum or for Liquid Core Gum Company that makes Apollo Energy Gum. That became my full-time gig at that point and jetpacks on the side. I was the COO of the company of Liquid Core.
Mm-hmm.
And it was time for me to move on. I'd been there for 5 years. The longest I've ever
That's a long stint for you. I mean, if you're having a backstory like this where it's like, oh, well, you know, I had a laminate / ski company and then I was just, you know, an air bum. It's like, you're not that old. Like, obviously you're not sticking around doing stuff too
well. And I never, you know, since I was 16, I've always had my own company. I've always done my own thing. I didn't ever expect to work for somebody that long.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out quite a bit. I think it worked out for everybody involved for a while, but it was just time for me to go my own direction. It's just what I'm more comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so I got some commercial space here in Longmont. That was another one. I just did not want to drive to Denver and back every day. I refused to live anywhere other than here, even though I worked in Denver. So every day I drive all the way down south of the stadium in Denver and back. So I was done with that. It's like, I'm definitely interested in working a lot closer to home.
Yeah.
So found some commercial space, and I started MaxQ Labs as contract product design and development and rapid prototyping. And didn't really have a whole lot of plan other than we'll make it work somehow.
Yeah.
And I had invested in some machinery that I had down in Denver, so I brought all that up. And I was like, all right, now what do we do? And started building the interiors for Vansmith, a company out of Boulder that makes super premium adventure vans.
Mm-hmm.
So we still make all, in fact, we're running Vansmith parts tomorrow. But that kind of became the first usage of the equipment that I had. And at the same time, just doing contract product design for anything. If you have an idea for, I want to make a new screwdriver that does this.
Nice.
Sketch it out, and then we go from there.
That's nice. Yeah, I do, like, since we're, like, right next door and our houses are basically the same shape, like, I try to close the shades, like, before I change.
I don't have shades.
Yeah, but Boyd doesn't. They don't have shades. I see you at the kitchen table, like, just tack, tack, tack. I assume you're just working on you all the time. It's just like, oh, Boyd's in there. But I only see because I have the shades drawn halfway up, uh-huh. You know, because they're the pull-down ones. And so I can always, like, I'll stand up to, like, put sweatpants on. It's like, oh, Boyd's still at it. It's like, okay. I'll just be swearing.
Yeah. Do you, can you make t-shirts? Because Brady and I are looking for a t-shirt.
Yeah, so I got a t-shirt made. Yeah, here's one to poach. You know, there's like the Longmont versus everybody yep. thing. And I'm like, my thing is like Longmont versus nobody. I just want shirts that just say like Longmont versus
nobody.
Nobody. And then on the other side, it just says, yeah.
So I got a couple referrals for you.
Yeah.
One that I just met with last week as part of the next venture that I'll tell you about in a minute, but it's called Surf BBP.
Oh, yeah, them on, they're on Main Street, on the 200 block.
Yep. I think we'll probably be working with them on stickers.
Okay.
Because now we make stickers, jetpack stickers.
Jetpack stickers.
And now everybody knows where the name jetpack stickers comes from.
Right. I get so much asked that
all the time.
It's like, well, let me start back when I made skis. And then also I got earned my first fortune. And
or just refer them to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, I met with them. They seem like they do really cool stuff.
Yeah. I think they're the ones that do the Longmont versus everybody thing anyway. And I just wanted to rip that off and be like, no, I'm not that antagonistic, dude. Like, it's just Longmont. It's
nice
cool.
People.
Come on in. It's fine. It's great.
We don't have too much scrap other than traffic.
Like, you got any issues? Like, traffic. Yeah. It's just the big trucks. They make so much noise. They take up so much space. They waste all the gas. Like,
There's another company here in Longmont that I don't know, but I know of, and it's called, not sure how you pronounce it, but it's Skazma.
Skazma, yeah, on Sunset.
It's a family business, and it's each of their names.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's like, I know it's like Kevin and like it's their whole family. That's what he spells out. Zach is the Z. They're really good people. They've been around a long time.
Yeah. So I should get some. Maybe we should just, it's expensive. So I was going to say maybe we should just get them for guests.
No, Skazma would hook us up.
But like, you know, like that'd be a lot of money to invest. We don't make any money doing this at all.
We don't. So. We don't.
This just you want to give us $15 or whatever to cover the cost of your t-shirt? Like,
but we could sell them maybe.
Yeah, I don't know that we've got a merchandising opportunity. We don't have like a huge base to listen to this. But you know.
All right.
Whatever.
I can make you stickers though.
Yeah, I would take a long
that we
versus...
do need, actually. We had stickers previously, and we've been meaning to make them.
So I would go with the, you know, because we got the red design or whatever, but if we could fit the Longmont versus nobody on it, I'd just be like, this is my
jam. I think we'll do two runs of it, you know, two versions.
Yeah.
So. All right, so you got jetpack stickers, and you have the, what was the other one called again?
Max Q Labs.
Yep. Max Q Labs, okay, nice.
The jetpack stickers started, we launched it, the same week that I got diagnosed with brain cancer.
Oh,
oh my
wow.
God.
Yeah. That's when it started. Literally, like, opened up for business, got the first order in the hospital with brain cancer.
Wow.
In that order.
God.
And still got the order done. That was for Urban Field. That's our very first order.
Yeah, nice. You work more than I do. I'll give you that. Because I remember that week because, like the whole neighborhood, like, there were these one-on-one encounters the entire time, and Mari's like, Brady, have you heard? And I'm like, what? And she's like, oh, my God, Boyd's got brain cancer. And I'm like, and we just stood there. I'm just standing there like, well, what? Like, forever.
Just like I was when I heard I had
brain cancer. I'm sure, yeah. But then you came home and you, like, flipped your hat off and you showed me your scar and your staples and, like, all of that stuff. And it's like, okay, no, I just got it from the source. But then, you know, I mean, the whole neighborhood's like, no, not Boyd, oh, my God. But yeah, so I remember
still
that.
Still here.
Yeah, still here.
Okay, so let's jump into the personal bio. You don't have a family here in Longmont? Are you
I have
single?
Family
because no, we I had a podcast about being single in Longmont.
Oh, yeah.
I should have been on that one.
Oh, well, we've got some people.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
we had a couple of single people.
Because I'll tell you, at the cancer ward, they're slim pickings. I go in for my infusions. You know, especially when I was more actively getting immunotherapy, and it's like, man, like I'm 47, but everybody else in here is like 67, 77. So there are some 77.
If you're doing like, if you're doing chemo, like you got a certain look, you know,
right?
You know,
which I don't have.
Right.
Like I was gonna, like this is the new face of But that's what you want, though. You get a pick. Like, yeah. Do you want the old school cancer? Like, you like, you know, thin.
Yeah.
No hair.
Right.
You go for the chemo ward.
Right.
If you want them a little thicker.
We're going to get letters.
You're going to go shopping at the immunotherapy ward. Right. Where they're on prednisone.
Right. Like, man.
Yeah. That's the best advice I have.
Yeah.
As a cancer patient.
That's amazing.
I'm just thinking we're gonna get some letters. We're happy you're here.
Like, we support not everybody. Funny. It's very serious.
You gotta be.
It doesn't always go well. That's the thing too.
The thing is, like, you have to have like that degree of humor to.
Right. It's the only way to deal with something so serious.
You can't just be like, oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, because it's. I mean, there's the side that's like every day. You know, you cherish every day and whatever, and that gets exhausting. If like every day you're like, oh god, how much am I gonna make it tomorrow? But like. You have to find humor. You have to live your life. Like, life goes on.
Exactly.
And all of those things. And so it's like, yeah, I mean, you joke about the things that you can't control. And,
right.
You know, but and it's.
And it is. I know that, you know, and in my case, I think I came to terms with it pretty easily. And I did. I just decided it's like, I'm just going to move on, like, as much as I can and ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to deal with it. And then when I'm not actively dealing with it, I'm going to pretend it's not happening until I can't.
Right.
And if and when that happens. Deal with that too, but other people have that a lot different, and I can sympathize for sure. You know, both from the emotional standpoint and from the health standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, I had a cousin die from lung cancer a few years ago, and he didn't have nearly this sort of outcome at all. You know, he got sick, and it was quickly downhill from there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I just lost my my grandmother to cancer. She found out fairly late that she had it, and she's 90 years old. And it's like, I mean, it's in a few different spots. Like, we're not doing anything for it.
Yeah.
And she's a 90-year-old woman, basically untouched by health concerns until all this happened. And then it's like, well, whatever. You just ride it out.
Yeah.
And talked to her a few times, and, you know, she's like, well, we got the morphine, and, you know. We're still on the ride now. So.
So, Boyd, what are some of your haunts? Where do you like to find yourself on the weekend?
Yeah, so let's, because I don't know how much time I got left, but like,
because we'll wrap it up here, but we want to know.
Like, all of it. Like, I moved here in 13, and at the point that time, for people who don't know, like, you walk down to Main Street on even Saturday, but particularly Sunday afternoon, and it's just like crickets, tumbleweeds, the odd car passes, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And now, like, there's all sorts of places
we
to go.
We have awesome stuff here. One of my favorites, of course, is Dryland.
Yes.
Good friends with Nels. I'm on the advisory board for Dryland. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Nels. And I'm going to give another shout out. Every time Nels comes up, I love Nels' shirts. Dude has the best wardrobe.
It's just like, it's just.
Oh, yeah, because he's the ones that he wears tonight. At the distillery.
Yeah, yeah, those things are amazing. Yeah, his kids shop for him, he says. And I don't know if that's true or not, but. And he lives close to us, too. He lives up in.
Yeah, just right. Yeah, a couple streets over. Or
yeah.
Less, like four right. houses. Up and four houses over.
Yeah, I think, it's not very far. And he's such a nice guy.
Yep, yeah. Super good guy.
Yeah.
And it's another example of the craft products that Longmont, I think, is becoming known for.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, we've got Dryland, we've got Rosalie's, we've got Urban Field Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on the phone with DJ of Grove Street Alchemy just right before coming over here, you know, becoming very well known for their craft.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they make, DJ makes bitters.
Okay.
I think he won an elite level, like, bartender of the year or mixologist of the year or something like that. But he's really well known for bitters and, like, the top restaurants all around will only use Grove Street bitters.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So, but people here tend to put a whole lot of heart and soul into everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows. And that's, I think, what has been the driving force behind the growth in what I think is a really cool, creative, craft way.
That,
you know, whether it be all the breweries, all the distilleries, soaps, candles, and people make everything here.
Yeah, like Lauren, who lives across the street from us, of Wren and Wolf and Wren, like, that's a great example. Like, the stuff that they make is amazing. Like, that's a really cool shop, too, so... Shout out to them. I don't mention her enough. Like, I like them. I should talk about
totally.
Them more.
Yeah, totally. Nice business.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of become a part of that as well. And that was the reason for starting Jetpack Stickers was like, you know, I love that. You know, I'm a crafter at heart. I love building things. I like making things. I like building companies. But I like also, I have to do something where I produce something physical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and I really appreciate what everybody, what so many of the other companies here in town do. It's like, I want to see if I can contribute in my own way. And kind of, I never planned on having a sticker company, but we do, and it's grown crazy fast. And now I get to work with so many of these companies that I've had huge admiration for as they've grown up too.
Yeah.
So it's really fun and exciting. It's my, it's what I really like now.
I mean, we only, like, we run a podcast about the town. Like, we're all in on this with you. Like, it's not like you're out here like burying your hustle and like, nah, man, it sucks. Like, it all sucks here. Like, the only thing we complain about ever is like traffic. Like,
right.
Legit. Like,
yeah. You know. But that's when people ask, like, you know, what do I like about here? It's that craft feel and that, that level of care and intensity behind everything that seems to be popping up here. Mm-hmm. I just really like the culture that brings about. And I think it's mutually supportive. The town loves it and the companies make things that the town loves.
And it's such a great community too. I mean, a lot of people, like a lot of places they'll say they're this, they'll say they're that. And like the best example that I've ever seen of this is when I lived in Kansas. And they had like these signs up that said like bicycle friendly community, and then I'd be on the road like biking, and I can't even like pretend to say some of the stuff that people would call me as I would just like ride around on my bicycle, being like, I like riding a bicycle, it's a nice day, and then some dude in a truck would be like, get off the road, and then use like words that we don't use anymore for me, and it's just like, dude, this road is so big, you could get like 8 trucks on the one side here, this is crazy, like what's the big deal? They hated me though, like just out of matter of course, and this was like over 10 years ago. So, but here it's like, we're like, well, how can we make the bicycle infrastructure better? Like, how can we expand the greenway? How can we empower businesses to do their thing? Like, what are the things that we value as a community? How do we make sure that people have affordable housing and all those things? And we're not perfect, but we're doing, mm-hmm. I mean, Longmont does pretty good work, so.
I think so too.
Well, wow, that was awesome. Thanks for those stories. Thanks for being here in Longmont.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I liked those words about a crafty town that puts effort into their craft. And
a lot of heart here.
That's a nice perspective. So thanks for being here with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Drop your businesses one more time.
All right, so Jetpack Stickers and now Labels. We just expanded into Labels, so pretty easy to find that one, and everybody knows where the name came from now. And the other one is MaxQ Labs, which is kind of the parent company, and that's product development, small manufacturing, rapid prototyping.
Right on.
Cool.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, thanks again. We thank David Cutter Music and Andy Effler for our intro and outro music. Find us at our email us at sidedishlongmont@gmail.com, and please like and follow us and share us with anyone.
Yeah, everyone, just literally.
Just everyone's grandma in Minnesota, whatever. They all want to hear it too. We appreciate your listenership, though, if you made it this far. What other crazy things can we say to test who made it this far?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Write in your favorite, write in and tell us if we'll go back to the old classic if a hot dog is a sandwich or not.
Oh, yeah.
If you made it this far.
Peace.